Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
He has to vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
With all due respect, that's a bunch of malarkey.
Hello and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Fishbein.
And the Betches Sup Podcast is your daily rundown of all the craziest shit going on in the news. But today, it is part two of our mailbag episode. You guys sent us enough questions for a several part episode.
We love mail.
We love mail. We've had a lot of fun answering your questions. We love mail. We support the mail. If you guys want to just snail mail us some questions, we'll answer them in 6 months.
Yeah. Whenever we're back at our office.
Yeah. Okay, guys. The first question, I like this one. What is your preferred medium to keep up with the news? Social media, newspapers, cable news, internet, etc. Elise, I would also like you to discuss your process for putting together the newsletter with this.
Yes. So the first thing I do for putting together the newsletter is I listen to NPR's Up First in the morning. They do a really good job of literally just running down the stories that are happening. Then I compare that with the New York Times has a morning briefing letter that they do. And so they'll sometimes, anything that's like in both of those things is usually probably one of our top stories. And then I will usually for like more obscure or fun or kind of like, I don't know, like snarky social media things. The Twitter Explore page, what used to be called Twitter Moments, honestly is a really, really good source, because if you click on a story, it'll link you to like what people are saying about it, multiple news sources about that thing. It'll have a summary of what it is up top. So I really use the Twitter Explore page often, even if like I know what we're gonna talk about, or like, yeah, there's like a top story, like what, like recently, you know, stuff with USPS. I'll try to find the story from Twitter Explore so that I can like really pull from a couple of different sources and get a couple different like vetted good points of view and stuff. So if you're not using that Twitter Explore page, I will say it is a good way to keep up with the news.
You know, it's funny, Elise. We've never talked about this, but I literally do the exact same thing.
Wow.
I have all of those steps in my routine too.
Mm-hmm. Amanda, what's your news diet?
Okay, so I rely mainly on newsletters. Mike, my boyfriend, thinks I'm crazy. He's always looking over my shoulder because I get about a dozen every morning and then like a couple at night. And he's like, how can you handle that? Do you read them all every day? And I don't read them all every day. Every day is different. It depends on what the day before was like. If the day before I felt really busy and didn't have a lot of time to like fully absorb what was happening, I'll read like the morning briefing, like Elise said, which is a pretty good top line summary. Like, you don't even have to leave the email for that. So like, if you don't have a New York Times subscription, you can still get the morning briefing and get a pretty thorough rundown in the morning. Or I'll read, I also like the CNN one because it's like pretty basic and sometimes we'll have like some fun facts. But then if I like feel like those are just going to be repetitive because I like was like panic scrolling Twitter the night before and I already know what's going on, then I will read. Every day I read the Axios morning newsletter. That one is great, especially if you feel like you have a pretty good understanding and want to like dive a little bit deeper. All of their like top headlines will be like, you this fact, and then we'll like give you a really cool like poll they did about it, or some, like, they got a lot of scoops. Like, now everybody knows about them because they had that awesome Trump interview with Jonathan Swan, but they're like a very tiny new media company with a lot of relationships, so they get a lot of cool scoops that will be like buried in that newsletter. Every day I also read the broadsheet, which I recommend to everybody, which I think Fortune does it. Yeah, Fortune does it. And I think it started as like talking about women in business. Like, I think that's a business term, a broadsheet. I don't know. Yeah. But it just will like update you on everything cool that happened. Not everything, but a lot of cool things that happened to or with women the day before. And it will include, like, you know, if some Republican woman had some big day in some way, like passed some major legislation, you know, it'll include that too. And it's pretty, it's definitely very like objective. It has a lot of international news and just stuff that you probably wouldn't come across. Like, it's a good cross between, like, it's not too like, yeah, girl boss, but it's not too like just a bunch of like white men, on the feed. And then I also listen to a lot of Crookeds. I listen to Hysteria every week. I love Hysteria. I think I am a listener master Monaco. I hope that if you listen to both of our podcasts that you nodded your head at that, because I adore her. And then I listen to long form podcasts, a lot of those, you know, like TED Radio Hour, like really kind of high minded, like just talking an hour about some very small detail in life. But my morning news routine is like, this is like a 2.5 hour process.
I have a different routine.
Wow. Share your news care routine.
I watch MSNBC all the time.
I do that too. Yeah.
I read Twitter and I listen to several podcasts a week that are news related. And I think someone asked about what podcast we listen to. So should we just answer that one next?
Sure. Hell yeah.
Okay. So I listen to several Crooked Media podcasts, Pod Save, like Love It or Leave It. I listen to Gaslit Nation, and The New Abnormal. And obviously the Betches Sup episodes that I'm not on. I do. Always. First.
I'll say some pods. I mean, I also listen to Crooked Media's offerings. I do the NPR Up First, as I said. I love The Daily. There's another podcast. We actually had one of the hosts as a guest a long, long time ago, but Throwing Shade is a really funny podcast where they talk about all like women's issues and LGBT issues. I really loved that podcast for a really long time. And then of course, the Betches Sup episodes I'm not on, and my own podcast, The Roast of Your Teenage Self.
So the next question asks, how long does it take to put an episode together? It depends. I would say it's about a 2 to 3 hour process, depending on how long the episode was. And a lot of that work ends up, whether it's 2 or 3 hours, depends. That's usually Sean's extra work because I don't know how to edit the podcast. So it just depends if we had edits throughout that, you know, we need to go back and find something and change something. Or but the process is, it is, doing daily podcasts is more work overall, but it's a lot easier to prep for them because, like I said, like doing 2 podcasts a week during the Trump administration is just like, it's really tough. I know Pod Save does it, but like you really have to limit what you talk about. But that's what takes so much time, is like figuring out what on earth of all the things that happened in the past 3 days do we include. So that was a much longer process. But now it's like, it's pretty quick. It's just like, the outline is pretty easy because some of it is scripted, but mainly it's for discussion. And then we write up a title and description and then it's published.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a more streamlined process since we've gone daily.
Yeah. It's not as much of a like production.
Yes. That's how we bring you the gift of the pod every day.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like I said, it's not a big process because so much of like how I do my job is just consuming so much news and reading a ton in the morning that by the time I get to the podcast outline, it's like pretty easy to, it's especially easy if Elise has already submitted the newsletter. Cause then I just,
it's like,
yeah, exactly. Okay. So the next question is let's get back to this one. Did you grow up in a Democratic family? Sammy?
Yes. Yeah. Overall. Nothing that interesting.
Discussed that you should be an activist, or did you just like know your parents were Democrats?
Oh no! Like the news was always on. News was hot. Like hot topic in the family. Yeah, like it was definitely encouraged to like have knowledge about the news and history, and like we watched a lot of political shows together. Yeah, it was very much like we're Democrats and we care and we vote and all that.
Got it. Brian, yeah.
What about you guys?
I think that's different for you.
Yeah, no. it's unfortunate because you don't want to like talk about it too much, but yeah. It was not easy. And it hasn't been easier the more, you know, vocal I've become and more, I guess, out there with my, you know, progressive views. But, you know, I grew up in a house where there were portraits of the Civil War where the Confederacy was coming out on top, you know? Like, that...
So, like, fan fiction?
Yeah, basically. the one battle that they won. Like, true. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's idea that it's fan fiction, though.
Yeah. That's definitely a thing.
Oh, that Somebody exists.
Trump does that.
What are you doing for that to be going on?
Yeah.
What?
You grew up pretty far north for that.
Well, my family's from Alabama. They migrated north like a generation ago. So, yeah.
That makes sense.
We did get a fair amount of questions asking, how do you talk to people that don't agree with you about these things, and do you just decide to push it aside?
It depends. Especially, you know, we talked about this in the last episode, but in light of George Floyd, I won't let anyone get away with anything anymore. Mm. You know, I'm kind of like, if you say something racist, I'm going to say that was racist. If you say something sexist, I'm going to say that was sexist. So for a while I did sort of put it off, but I feel like it's also trying to figure out a way to say it in terms that they can understand and agree with. Like, you, especially around this conversation around like defunding the police, just trying to be like, well, it's not like getting rid of the police. It's more like maybe investing some of the money. So like someone that the police don't have to go to, you know, when you don't call the police when you see someone hurt, who's a homeless person who seems like they're in mental distress, like that sort of thing, like trying to explain it that it like it's just in a way that's like simplifying and not, I've also realized if I'm never loud and yelling and angry, then I always walk out of there up top. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I've been in fights and in conversations about this with people and family members, and I have never, I mean, I did in the beginning, and then I learned if I argue, then that's it. So I, or like yell. So I never yell now. I just never yell. And if someone's yelling at me, I'm like, why are you yelling at me? You sound ridiculous. And then that always twists it. You know what I mean? To make them be like, oh, well, I'm the angry one now. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I like that.
But I think that the reason that I'm political is because when I was a teenager and once I moved to Virginia, I grew up in a really politically active area outside of DC. So instead of my parents bringing me in, just the general environment of Northern Virginia at that time brought me in.
That's what it was. I think that's why I thought your parents raised you to be woke, but you were just woke all by yourself.
To go to like protests and stuff, because like Iraq war protests were happening at that time, and I was also into punk music and all the punk songs. You're like, fuck George Bush. And like, you could go into DC and go to a protest, and that was like a really cool thing that I could do on the weekend that felt like cool and punk, but also I could take the train there because I can't drive.
a big thing for me was like I not to get too heavy, but you know, it was like coming out and realizing that I'm like, oh, I'm definitely a gay person, and then realizing that there's one party specifically that does not think that I should be able to have the same rights as other people. And then there's one that, like, I mean, in 2000, you know, when I came out, both parties didn't think I should be able to get married, but one has made significant strides. And so, you know, it's just like, oh shit, if I want like to be a person, I'm going to have to like fight for it, I guess, or be vocal about it and make people like listen to me, because it's not fucking fair.
Yeah, I have a similar experience to Elise. Like we're told that we were Democrats, but like we didn't act on it. My parents weren't very Like, I don't remember them being that outspoken or like into it. I just know that it was like, yeah, my dad's like, we're socialists. I'm like, okay, I have no idea what that meant. I just knew. My dad was like, no, we're very liberal. You're very liberal. I was like, all right. And like you said, Elise, like, it was cool. You know, in high school, it was all about the like, fuck George Bush thing. And that like was my sort of people I hung around. And like I said, I went to college and then sort of started to understand why my parents kept saying we are liberal. That was like adding any context. but yeah, they're not very, and as I've gotten older, I will, yeah, even though my parents say that, they'll say things where I'm like, oh no, that's, you were not very liberal that whole time. But yeah, I guess, I think because I got sort of activated and really involved in 2008, which was such an exciting time because it was Hillary and it was Obama. And I think we can all remember like what a cool time that was. And maybe it's why a lot of us that are like around this age, we had like a good, I got really into it when it was like a really fun time to get into it.
Yeah.
I guess it's the opposite of today's teens. Somebody asked, do we have any hobbies outside work?
What's a hobby?
Television? What do we like to do for fun?
My dog.
Television.
Dog, I've taken up embroidery.
That's a hobby.
That isn't a hobby.
Yeah, that's a real hobby.
I read and I smoke weed and read.
Well, there is a side.
Reading is a hobby.
Reading is a hobby. A side reading conversation. Weeding.
Yeah, reading and weeding.
Reading and weeding. I was going to answer my dog too, but that.
My dog, yeah.
Recently gotten into bike riding, but there is literally no bikes to buy in New England. So I'm starting to feel discouraged. Like, I feel like you can't become a city bike hobbyist. I'm like, I want to get into it and get my own bike and get like useless shit to like clean it with and do with it, but I can't.
Right. That's a real hobby. That's when, you know.
Yeah. But somebody else asked, this is related. How do you all detox or relax from all the heavy news stories? I'm a social worker in Kentucky and I like to follow the news. Also, my clients are directly impacted by current legislation. So I have to follow it to be on top of how that could impact them. Self-care and donations to appropriate causes can only do so much. How do you all feel at the end of the day when you feel as if you've done everything you can do, yet there's all this craziness going on?
Who wants to answer this one?
I don't have a good answer.
I mean, it's an amazing question. And some days it really, like, it does feel heavy. Like, there's a weight to keeping up with all this. I think it is important. I try to go on one vacation where I actually really don't check the news for a period of time, at least like once or twice a year. I will try to do that. 'Cause it kind of helps. It helps me to remember, like, you don't like it. I have to stay on top of it for this and for my job, but in practical terms, like, if you miss a news story, you'll be okay. The craziness remains or doesn't remain, but like you can tap out for a second and try to have your evenings be a nice time. I've gotten very into the peaceful evening world where I try to like, even if I'm watching a show, make it maybe not about a vicious murder.
I only watch like Disney movies now because and like musicals or like action movies like the Avengers, where I just like sit there and like numb my mind. Like, that is
that's a hobby.
I guess so. I mean, I don't watch things that make me anxious because I'm like anxious all the time. So
yeah,
I know it's hard to avoid that too, because that is like what most of prestige television is. Like, I'm in quarantine. I have tried to do The Sopranos over and over again, but I can't handle it right now. I can't watch The Sopranos right now.
Sometimes you just got to do like The Housewives or like, honestly, the nicest time is when Netflix or like any streaming service, whatever, will release like one of those shows that you can binge for a weekend and just totally escape.
The nicest time.
Selling Sunset, baby.
It's like Christmas every month, honestly. Like, Selling Sunset was that for me last week. Upset that I don't have one this week. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went through Selling Sunset so fast. Oh,
I always will hear about these and I'm like, I'm not going to like that reality show. And then I always do. I had never watched Summer House, and then my friends were always talking about Summer House. I was like, what is wrong with these people? And then I watched it all.
They're built for you to watch them and to eat them and to gobble them up and to
be like. It's junk food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wish I had one now.
It's junk food. It's junk food for television. You're exactly right.
Have you done Love Island?
I've started it. I love Love Island. I haven't gotten on the chain.
I love Love Island.
I watched Coco the other day and I just like sobbed.
Oh no. I watch a lot of Pixar movies. That's how they're sad. But they're like cathartic.
It was very cathartic.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't do enough of detoxing or relaxing from it.
I watched Meghan Markle narrate the elephant documentary on Disney Plus. That was really enjoyable. I would highly there's a lot of great like nature documentaries on Disney Plus, and that's why I got it, because I just sit there and that's what I do. I watch nature documentaries.
Yeah. You know what's good? British Baking Show is great for escape.
Yeah. You can also rewatch it. I've watched them all twice. I've tried a third round and it doesn't hit quite as gently when you already know everything that's going to happen. It's like, yes, I know Nadia. I know every charming encounter. Nadia has her own new show on Netflix, though.
I started watching that as well.
Yeah. It's good. She also another, there's a new podcast. You guys know Sabine Nosrat? She did I love watching like all the cooking documentaries. She did Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat.
Oh, okay. I was like, that name is really familiar.
Yeah. Oh. I've found it a little bit easier this year to be so involved just because I am quite hopeful that this is coming to an end.
I'm glad to hear you say that.
Which helps me a little bit, like, it's hard because like, at least it's like you want to take an evening off, but there's also guilt with it. You're like, how come I get to not read about this story of something terrible happening to somebody? Like they don't get to not experience it. But sometimes us feeling like shitty and sad before bed does not help that person.
No. Yeah. And it can get you to such a paralyzed state that it's not helping. It's actually hurting because now you're not able to even like engage in the social justice actions that maybe you would want to, or share the story because you're now so paralyzed by everything that's going on. So you have to find the sweet spot of staying engaged, but also mentally healthy.
Yeah. And staying engaged. And then because everything does seem so negative, that makes the good things that happen feel so good.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? It's true. Like sometimes like I watched Knock Down the House, the AOC doc, just to like feel hope. Because like I remember, you know what I mean, and like, and then even like more recently with Kamala Harris being nominated to the vice president nominee, like that gave me a really good feeling. Like I was like okay, and then I like saw like a lot of like I saw this one woman who has, you know, she's white but her husband is an Asian American, and so their children are half Asian American white, and so she wrote like what it meant to her to like show this to her daughter, and that's when it was like, oh wow, this is really, really amazing. And I felt good. You know what I mean?
And I felt that way too.
I don't know if I would have felt as amazing and great had I not been feeling such shit.
I know. Yeah. I think we published a really amazing essay by a writer named Sarah Kim, who wrote about how quickly people were to like erase Kamala Harris's like Asian identity. And she pointed out that like there are so many more mixed race people in this country than people like even realize. And I like pointed that out to my boyfriend. He was like, yeah, our kids are going to be Asian. And I was like, that's true. Our daughter will have probably be born with a woman vice president or president. And I felt really hopeful about that too. I'm going to rewatch Knock Down the House because Cori Bush is in that too. And I want to rewatch that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hearing about her win too. And I was like, oh my God, this feels so good.
I know. This is actually, since we just talked about it, we also got a question. If you could be in any reality show, what would you be in?
I would not, even though I love Love Island, I would not be on Love Island because I do not like the communal bedroom.
That's fair.
Selling Sunset. I could be a broker.
I could be like Kim Kardashian's best friend on Keeping Up with the Kardashians, I think. That's about as far as I could go.
I would be like one of the people in the world's most extraordinary homes on Netflix who like tours my like cave home. That
this is my tiny house.
This is my bunker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I'd like to be like a judge on Top Chef. So like just to achieve whatever I have to do, like vague notoriety to get there, and then maybe they'll invite me. But Padma Lakshmi likes this up. I still have to pitch her to come on. Then maybe we can make it happen.
I've heard that Padma's show is really great, too.
It's great. It's great. It's just got a second season, too.
There's a part of me that if I didn't need my glasses, if I got LASIK, that I would maybe do Survivor.
Oh, my friend's husband did Survivor.
Really?
Yeah. He could tell you all about it. He actually did, like, pretty well.
He did it recently, right?
Did it last year. Yeah.
I know Chris Burns is close friends with, and I know a little bit Zeke Smith, who was on Survivor and has done Survivor multiple times. And every time I've heard him talk about it, he says it's completely insane. But there's something inside me that thinks that I could do Survivor.
I think you could.
Yeah.
But also, I feel like it's fun, but you also like lose, like I would lose like a crazy amount of weight because I'll eat like rice.
Yeah, you get so tan.
You're like, you need such a good tan diet. And
skinny. Yeah.
I would keep you around, Elise, because you'd make me laugh.
That's what I think, that I could be like a sleeper cell for a long time. Like, I think I would just fly under the radar neutral for a while. Like, I don't think I would be one of the people that they would want to get me out.
Nope.
And then by the time we're towards the end, I feel that I could make some powerful alliances. I think that I would be shrewd.
I also think you could win over the tribe. Like, yes. I think people wouldn't begrudge wanting to let you win.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Exactly.
I don't know how anyone could turn against Elise Morrell.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Unless
you don't like one of her newsletter jokes.
Eat my little coconut.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is your go-to drink, Ryan?
Oh, I like a vodka soda with a splash of Sprite. You know, it's low-cal, sure. But I just need that little splash of Sprite to like get rid of that taste. But then once I have a few, then I just have a regular vodka soda because I don't taste anything.
Oh, yeah. Elise, do you have one?
I love a mojito, but I'm also snobby about them. So like if you serve me a mojito and it's whack, that's like the one thing I'll send back.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have a custom mojito at your wedding?
We are going to have a custom drink. It may be a mojito, and it will be called the Miss Biz after our cat.
Oh. I've been to weddings where they do one of each, so you could have two.
Yeah.
We're going to see, because our venue made us buy the bar from them, and it's stupid expensive. So
was this the one where you said they literally wouldn't let you do shots, that's a thing?
Yeah, they actually will not. We had to sign a document that said we won't do shots, which in my mind means we will do shots in the little room for the bride and groom in the back. But on paper, no.
Very fussy about the bar.
Yeah. They were like, we've had really bad experiences.
Who hasn't with shots?
Like, okay.
Every bar has probably had bad experiences with shots. You don't ban the shots.
It's so silly, because then you'd be like, can I have this on the rocks? And then you just take the ice out and it's a shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, there's a
workaround sneak. For sure.
There's a workaround. Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost said reach around. And I was like, there's a reach around. I'm like, that is not what the word I'm looking for.
That's your other Betches project for today. Yeah. Sammy, do you have one?
Drinks?
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't really like alcohol. But if I'm drinking and I want to enjoy it, I want like a watermelon cucumber mint situation.
Mm-hmm. That sounds delicious.
Yeah. Like I decided I'm over drinking for like getting drunk. And now I'm only interested in drinking for like the taste and socializing.
Yes. That's kind of where I'm at too.
Yeah. So I want to, so now I'm not going to like I used to just take tequila shots or drink like multiple tequila sodas so that I could like have as multiple. Now I'm like, I only want to enjoy a drink if I'm going to enjoy it.
Right. It's like I was used to get vodka sodas for function, but now I'm not even interested in that function. So
right. It's like gross. Like I'm seriously going to like guzzle this like fuel so that like gasoline so I can like be drunk faster and not have a headache. So that's where I am with favorite drinks. Amanda, what about you?
I'm with you. I think I like a margarita, but you know, I'm fine with a claw. That's fine.
I don't like White Claw. Surprise.
Really? Do you not like White Claw or you don't like any of the spiked seltzers?
I don't like White Claw.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I like Bon and Biv.
Oh.
Ooh.
Not sponsored.
It's the hottest take of the pod. Yeah. The most controversial.
I know. Somebody also asked us who we wanted in the primary, but I think that the scoop that Sammy doesn't like White Claw might be
much juicier.
Yeah, somebody asked that question and said, I think you all liked Elizabeth Warren, but I just wanted to confirm. But I know Elise was a Bernie gal at the end.
By the end, well, here's the thing. The real tea is that none of us really got to vote in the primary.
Right.
So
nope. Yeah.
That's so true. We voted in New York.
Hopefully influenced you.
My last where I was standing when I still thought that perhaps I would vote is that I had thrown my lot in with the bros. But then also when Elizabeth Warren dropped out, I had a very emotional reaction to that, to the point where I was like, maybe it was Elizabeth all along. Oh. I was like, my God. But ultimately it doesn't matter because we did not get to vote in the primary.
Right. Yeah, I definitely supported Kamala for a while and then I supported Elizabeth Warren and that's where I kind of stuck until I couldn't vote. So didn't matter.
Yeah. Same.
Same. I mean, I've been saying a lot lately that I like Stan Kamala, but I really don't. Oh, Kamala, Jesus.
Kamala?
Wow. Thanks, Tucker Carlson.
Keep it terrible. Keep it in. That's going to be it. I'm going to get canceled.
Well, you are wearing a Kamala shirt right now.
Oh, I am wearing a Kamala shirt. I am.
For those who are listening, just so you know.
We all dread the what should we have for dinner question. I know I do. I love a home-cooked meal, but I don't always have the time, energy, or groceries to make it happen. Being able to feast on a delicious meal without the long prep and cook times is what drew me to Home Chef over the other guys. Home Chef's meals are effortless, so I can spend less time trying to be top chef and more time watching it. Whether you prefer classic meal kits with pre-portioned ingredients and easy instructions, speedy recipes ready in less than 30 minutes, oven-ready kits with pre-chopped ingredients, or quick microwave meals that assemble in minutes, Home Chef has you covered for delicious meals without the hassle. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you never have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering our listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/feverdream. That's homechef.com/feverdream for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Homechef.com/feverdream. Must be an active subscriber to receive free dessert.
Okay, the next question, since we've been talking about Elizabeth Warren, when Biden gets elected and we take back the Senate, what role would you rather have Elizabeth Warren do? Do you think she'd be more useful as Senate Majority Leader or Treasury Secretary or something else? What a cool question.
I think she should be Senate Majority Leader because she has the most broad like knowledge about like so many different policies and she can work on many things rather than just like financial or like economic related things. Also, I know people are terrified of having her in any sort of like financial role, which would cause a backlash, but I think she would get less backlash in general as the majority leader.
Yeah, I
also really want to see her as Senate Majority Leader, but there is, I mean, as like Treasury Secretary, she would have, I think, an incredible amount of power, and it really cannot be understated how much good she would do in that role. So I certainly would not be sad to see her take that.
The only thing that makes me nervous about that is like, it's not like when you're a senator, it's an elected position, you know, like you're there. But if she's Treasury Secretary, maybe she does something that pisses off one of Biden's donors or something. and it's like, get this woman out of here, you know, sort
of
thing.
That's literally like, what happened to her before when she, like, the bureau that she founded, basically Obama, like, politely demanded that she could no longer lead it because he didn't think that the Republicans in the Senate would appreciate her nomination. And I think he wanted somebody a little with less of like a radical reputation. Exactly. This is the challenge that I'm having a lot lately, catching myself, where I'm always like just like anticipating how they're gonna fuck with like the perfect solution. So like I think I agree with you, Elise. I think like the idea of her having smackdowns with Wall Street, and like maybe Brian, like you mentioned, like maybe she just does it for like 2 years, and then Biden's like, okay, the election's coming up, we got to put someone a little chiller in here for now. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'm fine with either. I do agree. It's like if she can keep winning that Senate seat, then we should keep safe senators in their seats.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's also true. It's like in Massachusetts, if we take her out of that seat, it's tough because a Republican can win in Massachusetts and has won that seat, and she replaced a Republican for that seat. So it's not as sure of
a thing. They have a Republican governor. But, you know, it's...
Yeah. Whereas if perhaps Bernard were to go to the cabinet in some capacity, Vermont will elect another Democrat to fill his
That's a good point.
So we're not, like, losing a seat.
Right. The next question is, who is your favorite Spice Girl and why?
Ginger. Girl power, baby.
Because of her. Posh.
I'm on Posh, team Posh as well.
Always. Because every little girl played Spice Girls with their friends growing up, and I was always Posh.
Least amount of talent. Most amount of success, and she's married to David Beckham. I mean, that's pretty fucking
apparently
great.
Their marriage is like always on the rocks. Amanda, who do you think?
Well, I was literally just thinking that my answer now is very different from the answer of the limited two Spice Girls lollipop I would have once wanted.
Because yes.
I always used to want Baby Spice, but now I feel like my favorite is Scary Spice or Ginger Spice. I like Scary because she just like doesn't give a fuck, and she's cool as hell, and she knows it. And I think she's like one of the better performers. Scary or Ginger. So I've come a long way.
I think it's because I always had a bob haircut. And so I related to Posh Spice's sort of early lob style.
Sporty. Yeah. Sporty has the best voice. You know,
that's true.
Sporty does have, and she's got like a cool quality to her voice, that like raspy energy.
Yeah.
I always just wanted to wear like Ginger's like flag dress with the platform shoes. And like, I just thought she was like so cool.
So cool.
Well, she was the leader, kind of.
Was she? Okay.
I always felt that she was.
But Posh was definitely like Queen Bee in some way too.
Well, she was Posh.
Yeah, exactly. She was Posh, exactly.
Okay, so our last question for now is, this is a fun one. Are there any conspiracy theories you can't help but get behind? The questioner wanted to clarify, they didn't mean stuff like Pizzagate and things that are actively dangerous, but sort of middle tier conspiracies.
I think JFK died under sketchy circumstances, and I don't believe the narrative that they want to sell us.
I will agree with that, and I will say the same about Jeffrey Epstein.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Brian?
I mean, I have questions about, you know, this might be too extreme, I don't know, but I have questions about what happened in that field in Pennsylvania and at the Pentagon.
Yeah.
That seemed like a, you know, I feel like, you know, you would see some plane fragments at either of those sites, you know? I don't know.
Wow, Brian going all the way.
Yep. Yep. Amanda?
I mean, this was challenging because we've talked about this before. Like, the concept of a conspiracy theory, like, the word itself is designed to make you skeptical of it and think it's crazy, when, like, a conspiracy is just a word that describes, like, an intentional effort to deceive and like gain power some way, or hide misdeeds, which, like, that's happening constantly. A lot of the stuff that we now accept as realities about Trump were conspiracy theories. So I get behind a number of them. Definitely, conspiracy, I don't think Jeffrey Epstein, like, killed himself.
Right, of course. Conspiracy just means, like, a lot of people are in on it, on something.
Right, I feel like the ones that...
That's not that crazy.
Right,
the we're ones in that on are... a conspiracy right now, this podcast. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel like the ones that are like the Pizzagate ones and the, like, selling children on Wayfair, like, they do a disservice to the real conspiracy theories.
Yeah, it's always funny to me for people to be involved in those when I'm like, the president is disrupting the mail. Like, why don't you focus your crazy ass energy on that?
Right, there's no shortage of actual real conspiracies happening.
Russia hacked the election in 2016, but they're if you look up the SKU number on this Wayfair cabinet, it has the same name as a little girl. And I'm like,
this is the Obama administration, and there was a Reddit thread, and Obama were doing, like, this would be, everyone would be like, look at this really cool conspiracy theory, but it can't possibly be true. It's just a really funny conspiracy theory that they're literally picking up fucking mailboxes.
Or that, like, Katy Perry is really JonBenet Ramsey.
Oh, yeah.
You believe that one?
Yeah, I totally believe that one.
I can't read your face at all.
No, of course not. Of course not. There's another conspiracy theory that Paul McCartney is not the same Paul McCartney that got famous in the Beatles, that at some point he died and they replaced him with a lookalike, and now he is still the fake Paul McCartney.
Okay, I know nothing about that, but I believe that now.
Yeah. The only lookalike story I believe is that Melania has one.
Yes.
Mm. Yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah, like, it could sound like a conspiracy that, like, it's a conspiracy theory that Donald Trump is literally just trying to be president to keep himself out of prison. But there's plenty of evidence that that's true.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, guys. That is the end of part two. You guys have more questions for us. We will invite you to send more and do a part three. Let us know if you want one. And don't forget to give this podcast a review. It really helps. You know it does. Give us a 5-star review and recommend us to your friends. Until the end of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
I'm Brian Russell Smith.
I'm Sammy Fishbein.
This is the Betches Sub Podcast.
The Betches Sub Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby and Amanda Duberman. Our podcast managers are Mike Coscarelli and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to sup@betches.com.
Betches.